Our first scripture passage comes from Isaiah chapter 7. In Isaiah chapter 7, we hear that there are two nations who have recently allied themselves, and they've tried to conquer the kingdom of Judah. And so the chapter tells us that in the face of that dangerous situation, quote, the heart of King Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. At that time, God sent the prophet Isaiah to the king to bring the king a message of comfort. The message was that these two allied powers would not prevail against the kingdom of Judah. Ahaz and his kingdom would survive. The message was essentially, do not be afraid. Isaiah says, quote, therefore, thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand and it shall not come to pass. And we have these verses from Isaiah 7, verses 10 through 14, where we can read, again, the Lord spoke to King Ahaz, saying, ask for a sign of the Lord your God. Ask for a sign. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as the heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. And from the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter, verses 18 through 25, we read, now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our Lord remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'm trying to wear my robe so that things will be... Check.
Let all mortal flesh keep silence.
All right, try it like this. Check. Good? All right. Okay. All right, we are quickly approaching Christmas. Sam, did you turn me down? Can you put me back up? Check. All right. Leave it there. It's good? All right. We are quickly approaching Christmas, a time when we read about and remember so many signs and wonders from the story of Christ's birth. There are so many signs in the story of Christmas. God sends Gabriel to Mary in her home in Nazareth, and then to Joseph in a dream. God sends Gabriel as a sign to give Mary and Joseph direction and understanding as to what God is up to. After meeting Gabriel, Mary then goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth. And again, through that visit, God shows Mary signs of what God is up to. The Holy Spirit inspires Elizabeth's baby to leap with joy inside of her. And the Spirit inspires Elizabeth to call out with joy and wonder about Mary and the baby that she will bear. God puts a star in the sky, the star which is a sign to guide the Magi and mark the place of Christ's birth in Bethlehem. Sends the host of heaven, the angels, who are inspiring signs to the shepherds and who direct them to find Jesus in Bethlehem. The angels tell the shepherds what sign to seek in order to find the Savior born Christ the Lord. They say, look for a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. The Christmas story is full of God's amazing signs. Signs that help to explain what God's up to. They point people in the direction of God's plans. And they were given by God to emphasize the message which we hear over and over again, do not be afraid. Our passage from the book of Isaiah is also about a sign from God, which was meant to emphasize that same message. God is with you. Do not be afraid. In that story, King Ahaz is in a time of great distress. The nations and the kingdoms all around him are burning and churning. There is political unrest. Alliances are being drawn. King Ahaz and the people of his kingdom. King Ahaz and the people of his kingdom, they're worried and they're experiencing fear. Isaiah tells us that in the face of all of that fear, they shook like trees in the wind. In that time of distress and worry, God is good. God is good in that time of distress and worry. God comes to the king through the prophet Isaiah. God sends Isaiah to bring words of encouragement to the king. The words are, do not worry. I, God, am with you, and nothing will come of all of these political machinations. Those kingdoms that you're worried about, they have used up all of their energy. They are like smoldering ashes at this point. There's no fire left in them. Your kingdom will be okay. That was God's message, the words that God sent to King Ahaz, but the king wasn't convinced. And so God comes back with an offer of more grace besides just God's words of grace. God offers King Ahaz a sign of grace as well. God tells Ahaz, ask me for a sign. Ask me for a sign, and I will give it. God says, go ahead, ask for a sign. Any sign at all. It could be as low as Sheol or as high as the heavens. Ask for a sign to confirm that my words of grace are true. Ask for a sign, and I will give it. My friends, the Bible shows us that in addition to God's word, our God gives signs. In the Bible, we have example after example of people needing signs from God to help assure them of God's messages of grace. God's message that I'm with you always, and God's message that there is nothing to fear. God's signs throughout Scripture help to point people and in the direction of God's plans. They help people to understand what God is up to, and they emphasize that message, do not be afraid. So God offers King Ahaz a sign, and King Ahaz's response is to turn God down. Ahaz doesn't turn God down directly, but the king's response and his actions in what follows, his walk and his talk, they communicate the message, no thanks, God. I don't really want your sign. I'll take care of things myself. God wants to give the king a sign. God wants Ahaz to know that there is nothing to fear, but the king turns God down. He chooses to hold on to his fear. He chooses to try and solve his problems on his own. My friends, this week, God reminded me that we can very much relate to the situation of King Ahaz. We worship and serve a God who loves us dearly. God so loves this world that God sent Jesus into this world, not to condemn the world, but to bring us salvation. Jesus came to be our Emmanuel, a name which means God with us. As Richard Rohr put it, God sent Jesus into this world to show us that God the Father is for us, Jesus the Son is alongside us, and God the Holy Spirit is within us. God is with us. And with God for us, who can be against us? Jesus came to demonstrate God's love for us. It means that God brings us salvation, freedom from our sins. Jesus came to demonstrate that God's love for us means that God will and has defeated everything that stands in our way. Jesus shows that God's power can free us from the powers of evil. Jesus shows us that God is a God of healing and restoration. Jesus shows us that God is a God of inclusion and community and welcome and hospitality. He shows us that God is like the host of a great banquet. And as God's table, and at God's table, there is enough room. There is a seat for everyone. Jesus shows that God is a God, not just of the few who are rich and full, happy and healthy, but that God is the God of the many who are poor, humble, sick, mourning, and lonely. Jesus shows us that God is a God whose love and power are great, greater even than the power of death itself. Jesus shows us that with God, there is nothing to fear. This is the message of the signs within the Christmas story. God has come to be with us. Go and see, and do not be afraid. As Christians, we seek to live in the comfort and the peace of this good news message, which I've just shared with you with words. And what is really wonderful is that God knows that sometimes we need more than just the words of that good news message. I can stand up here and tell you over and over again that God loves you, that God is with you, and that God will direct your life. But God knows that sometimes you need more than just the words of the preacher. God knows that sometimes we need a sign. Sometimes we need a sign like the signs we see in the Christmas story. Sometimes we need a sign which brings that message home to us and makes it impossible for us to ignore it or forget it. We need a sign like the sign that comes to Joseph, a sign that comes in a dream. We need a sign that is carried by an angel. We need the testimony shared by a loved one who is suddenly filled with the Holy Spirit or whose baby jumps with joy within them. We need the heavens to open and the glory of the Lord to shine all around us. Or God knows that we need a sign which is small, quiet, and unexpected. A sign that is mundane, earthly, out of the way, hidden if not revealed by God. We need a sign like a baby, born to a poor young woman, to a family who could find no room in an inn. We need a sign like a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in an animal's feed box. My friends, God knows that sometimes we need a sign to help confirm the promises and the good news which God gives us. This week, God has reminded me that God is a God who wants to give us signs. In the passage from the book of Isaiah, God is essentially pleading with the king. God pleads with the king, saying, "Ask me for a sign. Trust me. Trust that my plan is good, and that I have you in my hands." God pleads with the king to ask for a sign. Ask me for a sign and I will give it. And my friends, God pleads with us. God is in heaven pleading with us, saying, "Turn to me and ask me for a sign." And God promises that God will give it. Growing up in the church, even as I did, it was not often emphasized to me that God is a God who gives signs. I was told that God loves me. I was told that my sins were forgiven. But not too often was I told to look and to listen for God's signs. This week, our living and active God, the God who still desires to direct our feet and guide us on the paths of life, our good and loving God has reminded me, convicted me, that God gives signs. Signs which tell us that God is with us, and that because God is with us, there is nothing to fear. For that reason, we should look for God's signs. We should pray for God's signs. And unlike King Ahaz, we should accept God's offer to give us the signs we need to remember and to believe that God is with us, and therefore there is nothing to fear. We have God's words and God's promises. They are here in this Bible and in your Bibles at home. But this week God has put it on my heart that God also speaks to us, touches our lives in so many ways than just through God's word to us in Scripture. Yes, we should read our Bibles. Yes, we should be a part of Bible studies and read a chapter of the Bible every day and use devotional books on a regular basis. Yes, we should saturate ourselves in the teaching and the example and the direction of Jesus Christ, which we can find in the Gospels. But this week, I hear God inviting us to receive more grace, even than the grace that God gives us in Scripture. This week, I hear God speaking to us, just like he spoke to King Ahaz. I hear God reaching out to us in our times of worry and fear and need and wonder about the future. And I hear God saying to us, ask me for a sign. Ask me for a sign, and I will give it. May it be as low as a manger in Bethlehem or as high as the heavens. Ask me for a sign, and I will give it. My friends, God loves us, and God wants to free us from our fears. In service to God's love, God is ready to touch our lives with God's living word, yes, but also with God's peace-giving signs. Our challenge is to find the words and the courage to ask for God's signs. Our challenge is to take time to quiet our hearts, that they are ready to receive the signs that God gives. Our challenge is to open our ears and our eyes to hear and to listen to the signs that God gives. Our challenge is to relinquish our fears and our desires to be in control and to accept God's offers of grace and peace. Our challenge is to be willing to accept the signs that God gives and to be obedient to the pathways to which those signs point us. This Christmas, as we celebrate Christ Jesus born Emmanuel, the sign that God is with us, let us listen to the voice of God, who calls out with a blessed invitation, our God who says, ask me for a sign, and God who promises, I will give it. Thanks be to God. Amen.